Psalm 128, we're going to be looking at, Lord willing, in the month of December, the home, and looking at the home and how to have a happy home. And so I know that I'm preaching tonight to the choir. I often say that, folks, that you really do strive at that. You do a very good job. But biblically, what does the Bible have to say about the home? And we'll see that here. Psalm 128, the 120s of the Psalms are wonderful. They're shorter, and so I'd encourage you to read them, but they're very, very applicable, if you want to say, to our lives. Psalm 128 in particular, notice what it says with me. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Just a good reminder of the blessing of the Lord upon the home and upon the family. And I hope to be a blessing here over the next couple of weeks as we look at the home. And again, I know I'm speaking to folks that know this and understand it, but I hope to be a help to you, okay? Now, as we look at this, we're going to start out looking first of all here, and then over the next couple of weeks, we'll look at different roles that we all play, the husband, the wife, the children, and so on and so forth, all right? Now, notice in your notes there, the family is the most important unit of our life on earth, and that's a fact. God established it in the garden through marriage. Now, marriage protects the family. Through the marriage union, He gives children to make life fulfilling. He gives instructions on how to be happy. He wants us to be successful. If we are not successful at home, we are not going to be very successful anywhere else, right? Again, let me clarify that. You know, some folks don't have children. Nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean you're not successful or God hasn't blessed your family or your life. Please understand that. There are many ungodly, wicked people that have 15 kids, right? That have a lot. So we must understand that, okay? I want to clarify that as well. Many today are failing at home, though. They want a happy home, but must confess that theirs is less than what you would call a happy one. And I raise my hand on that, okay? All of us have struggles and problems time to time. Now, no one enjoys that failing. We have an inward desire to succeed in whatever we do. Failure is distasteful and discouraging. The dictionary defines it as turning out to be unsuccessful, disappointing, or lacking. In other words, failure is the opposite of good success. We know. God gives the basic formula to Joshua. We studied this just recently in our Bible Institute for being successful in every area of life. And he says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have that good success. It all comes back to the Word of God. So the first thing we must do is correctly define good success. Many are confused on the true definition. Usually, it is associated with material prosperity. If you have a nice house, a good job, money, fancy car, all the latest electronics, nice clothes, some of the toys you enjoy, you're considered successful. However, God does not say that success is the same as material prosperity. And in Joshua 1:8, He promises that prosperity and success. It is possible to have one without the other. Many who have much of this world's riches are not successful in their personal lives. We see that all the time, don't we? On the other hand, many who have very little material wealth are very successful in life. The word translated, as we see in Joshua 1:8, comes from a word that means to possess and occupy. Each time the word possess appears from Genesis to Nehemiah, it comes from that same word. Therefore, we can conclude that good success is to take possession of and occupy the things God's given us. There's only one way to do that. We must meditate, as we saw in the Word, day and night, that we may observe to do all that's written therein. And God has given us good things to possess. It is not the same as Israel, who was about to go in and possess the land, but God has given us some things. He's given us His Son, John 3:16. Do you possess Him, is the question. He has given us eternal life, 2 John 5:11. Do you possess eternal life? He's given us peace in John 14:27. Do you possess that peace? He's given us richly all things to enjoy, 1 Timothy 6:17. So if we are to prevent failure and have the good success we talk about in our lives, then we will have to follow the Word of God. God wants us to be successful. He tells us how. He's much to say about the home and gives clear instructions on how to be happy and successful. Now, if we study His Word, we yield to His instruction, we can have a happy home. All right. Now, saying all that, let's look at number one here. We ought to give our home the miracle of salvation. You and I must have Christ in us. Now, that's what we see in our text here tonight, Psalm 128. The one that feareth the Lord, the one that knows the Lord personally. And that's obviously a no-brainer. We would say that, but a lot of people don't know that. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Now, notice that as we've read this before. But examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, he says. Settle your salvation. Success is not possible otherwise. Now, give your home the miracle of salvation. Letter B, you must win, you and I must win our children to Christ. Now, other people may win them to Christ. We know that. Maybe a pastor or a friend or somebody like that. But you and I must strive, again, as parents, to win them to Christ. Luke 18, verse 16, but Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And we saw in our, we went through our Bible Institute some of this. Prior to this, we know the world that Jesus lived in that time, they mistreated children. I mean, really. And he was one of the first real public figures, you want to say it, that really emphasized the welcoming of children, right? The love of children. Before that, they mistreated them very poorly. Today, we see that as well. A lot of stuff has been coming out recently in the news about some of these bigwig, high-profile people. What's happening? We find out they're pedophiles, right? They're sick. And a lot of the head people in Hollywood and everywhere else, the music industry and the movie industry, it turns out they're pretty sick people. And a lot of it has to do with pedophilia. And what is it doing? Again, it's Satan's attack on the child. It's not an embracing of them. It's an attack upon them. We'll look at that a little bit later. But anyways, looking at that, we win our children to Christ. Now notice at the bottom of the page there, do not leave them to themselves to later decide for themselves what they want to believe. Now some people disagree with that, but notice what the proverb says. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he wants to go. Does it say that? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. We ought to be facilitating that for them, right? Hey, here you go. You're going this way, but I don't want to go. I think a lot of unhappy kids are unhappy because mom and dad don't tell them what to do, right? Don't show them which way to go. Why don't you go this way? Now, they're going to throw a fit anyways, but kicking and screaming, but you show them the way to go. And when you do, they get older. That word old means adulthood. They won't depart. Now, notice the second page on that. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. We know that. We must do our best to win them to Christ. We must. I saw recently those riots and other things that were going on in the inner cities back a few years ago, back in the summer. And I thought about 15, 16, 17-year-old kids running around the streets, breaking cop cars, setting stuff on fire, shooting people. I mean, where's the parental authority? There was none, was there? None. Nobody was there to help. Nobody was there to correct them. And again, that's what it is. A rod and reproof give wisdom. And we see it. We must train our children the way to go. Now, a couple things under that. Why? Well, because the devil's seeking to devour. 1 Peter 5:8, he wants their souls. He wants their bodies. If he can destroy them, if he can take them. Again, if he can get them at a very young age to be betrayed by an adult or be hurt by an adult, they're going to grow up and say, well, if God let me go through that, I don't believe in that God. That's what he does. The adversary is very sick and we know he's very sneaky. He's very deceptive. He also, well, because the world is also seeking to draw them away, the world wants them. And I said before that, but if you don't want your kids, you don't want your marriage, you don't. The world, open arms. Oh, you don't want that? We'll take them. We'll take them. Please bring them to us. They want them. They want to use them and recruit them into their army of sick, vile wickedness, don't they? Take little kids and turn them into very evil, disrespectful, rebellious children growing up to be ungodly people. Thirdly, because obviously we've all sinned. Romans 3:23, as hard as it is to understand, little sweetie pie is a sinner. Precious little child is a sinner. They are. And you that you know some of that. You've watched kids before or you've handled kids. And those of you who have kids and grandkids, you know. 1-year-old walks over, takes a toy from sister. Sister says, that's my toy. And they fight and they argue. And we watched one day, she got in a fight with her. And then we got handled it, broke them up, you know. And she walked over, the little 1-year-old, and snuck that toy and put it behind her and just tiptoed away, ran off, you know. They're deceptive, aren't they? All of that. We know we're all sinners. We all come short. I have number four, because the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Hell is eternal. The wages of sin is death. Again, talking about giving salvation to your home, training up the children in the way they should go. We know these things. I know that. But just a good reminder tonight about our world and adversary and where we are. Okay, now, number two, notice, give your home the beauty of Christ. And again, I have here the beauty of Christ, the beauty of Christian character. 1 Peter 2:21, again, we went over this a few weeks ago as we looked at the life of Christ, but he says, "For even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. We should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither guile was found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Again, coming back to the example and following his steps. The beauty of Christian character. Individually, reputation is what others see. Character is what you are when no one but God sees. And if you really want to get to know me, go ask my wife and kids. Okay, please don't, because I don't want them to tell you how real I am. how much I fail and how real I am. And individually, notice that. The Christian character, collectively. Study the Word of God together. Worship God in public together. Resolve conflicts in the way Christ gave example and instruction. These are basic things, but we know them. But the average Christian home today, do you know they don't even sit around and read the Bible together? They don't even sit around and pray together. Mom and Dad don't get alone and pray together. I don't know why. It's hard to do, easy to talk about, hard to do, I know that, but we make it a priority. We're too tired. No, let's get a priority. We need to pray together, study the Word together, get and resolve conflicts the way Christ gave us example. James 3:17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy, good fruits. It's without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. Forgiveness, forgiving offenses, confessing faults, seeking forgiveness. Things we know. Christian character. Again, letter B, the beauty of Christian ambition. What's the ambition you have? One, establish Christ-honoring goals for life. Right? You be risen with Christ, then seek those things that are above, not where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not the things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. Dead men and women don't have any desires to do anything. They don't have any real things. You think about the word ambition. He says, set your affection. I have ambition for Christ-honoring goals, living to reach others for Christ, living to help others, and work to help and establish the Christian home. What is your ambition for your home? I hope you have goals for that. Let's look at thirdly, though. We give our home the strength of Christ. Strength of Christ. Be strong in faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know that, I'm sure, but he says what? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not, but what? In all thy ways. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. The strength of faith. Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He staggered not. I like that word. Most people stagger around when they're inebriated. They're drunker than a skunk. They're staggering. He says he didn't stagger. He didn't stumble, trip, fumble. He didn't stagger, stammer, or stutter at the promises of God. He said, I'll go ahead and just do it. Hesitation. Talking about the great faith of these men of God, like Abraham and Moses and others. Notice, give your home the strength of Christ by strong faith, by strong convictions. Genesis 18:19, for I know him, this is the Lord speaking, he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. For I know him. Is that amazing? The Lord knew Abraham so well. He said, are you sure he'll follow through? Are you sure you can trust Abraham? And God said, oh, I know him. I know what he'll do. I know him that he will. He has a consistent character. A consistent character about him. That he always does, as later Jesus will say, I do always those things that please him. I always. My goal is always to please the Lord in everything, in every way, and in every part of my life. Boy, again, hard to do. Strong conviction. Letter C, by mutual submission. Ephesians 5. In fact, let's might as well go there. Ephesians 5:21. Why not? 5:21. We're going to look at this in more detail later. And we're really going to talk about what the wife should do. Amen. And then we'll skip over the husband part real quick. No, we won't. You dear godly women, praise God for you. Ephesians 5, we've read these before, but let's read them again. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ooh, what a love we are to show. But the mutual submission, husband submitting to Christ and to wife's needs. Husband submits to Jesus Christ, then the wife submits to the husband, then the kids submit to the parents. That's the order. And when that's in order, things tend to work out a little bit better. Wife submitting to husband's leadership, provision, constant complaining and criticizing destroys him. Constant complaining, criticizing hurts the children. Children submitting then to the parents. And we'll get to the children as well in that. We see it. The mutual submission that takes place in a home. Again, the unity that happens. Letter D, by undying loyalty. Husband and wife loyal to each other. Parents and children loyal to each other. Entire family really loyal to Christ. The loyalty is lost today in a lot of homes. Nobody's loyal. And to throw each other under the bus if we can sometimes. And, you know, never standing up for one another. They're never loyal to our convictions or loyal to our integrity. All the things that we talk about. Are we loyal? And the home, the strength of Christ in the home. Now, let me say here fourthly. Give your home the love of Christ. The love of Christ. Loving God with all our heart. The Bible is very clear in that. As that individual member came to the Lord. And Jesus said what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with everything you have. When we truly love God with all our hearts, then and only then can we love others as we should. As we should. We're to love our spouse. We know that. Husbands are commanded to do this. We just read. Wives are to learn to do this. Now, this is interesting. We're going to study this next week. But the husbands are commanded to, and then the wives are to learn to love. I'll let you study some of that on your own. Very interesting. We are to love our children by giving them proper discipline and training, giving them merciful consideration. I noticed some things here. Children are little people. They really are. They're accident prone. They're incapable of doing things correctly until they're taught. And yet how many times have I, you know, hey, figure it out, you know, get on with it, figure it out. Don't do it. And doesn't happen, does it? They're accident prone. They're little people. I said before that, you know, when they're born, a baby's born, they have everything they need. Don't they? They just take some maturing. They have every part. They have every organ. Everything they need to be an adult. Everything they need to reproduce. But it's not time yet, right? They got to mature. They got to grow. And you think about that. Oh, merciful consideration. Boy, consider the outcome of so many homes and so many instances where people have failed in that regard. Doing things correctly, helping them. Thirdly, by giving unconditional acceptance. They're your children no matter what they do. And sometimes you don't want to face that, but they are. They are acceptable even when their actions are not. And they are better able to do right when accepted. The old adage goes, tell me and I'll know, show me and I'll understand, but encourage me and I'll never forget it. Anyone ever encouraged you to do, you feel, man, hey, I can do that. Encourage me. Tell me, okay, go pick that up. Okay. Show me, this is how you pick it up. Oh, okay, I get it. But encourage me. You're a good picker-upper. They go, well, hey. Some of it's manipulation, but you just, you're good at that. I think about that, right? Really, that unconditional acceptance that's there. Make the home a haven and not a hell. I'm not using that as a cuss word. Some of you would admit you may have grew up in a home that was hell. It was hell. I mean, tough, right? I mean, broken, alcoholism, drug use, all of that. And we can make our homes a haven, not always the peachy keen thing we always like. There's fighting, there's yelling, there's the disagreements. But we try our very best. Make it a haven. We sing the song, Haven of Rest. I love that song. It's a haven of rest. You come back into that haven where God wants us to be of rest. And that's what our home should be, making it a haven. decorating it, making it smell good, right? All the things we can think about, especially the prayer that ought to be lifted up in our homes by, number five, by then protecting them from your weaknesses. Your crutches may become their lifestyle. Your moderations will become their extremes. What we allow in moderation, they usually do in excess, right? And so just praying about that. But our crutches, they may become a lifestyle for them if we're not careful. But we protect them from our weaknesses. And that does not show, not ever showing them that we're weak. I think sometimes, I know I do that. Never show them that you have any failures or weaknesses, although they already know you do. You're working at that and saying, okay, you know, here's my weaknesses and I want you to do better at it. And we're working towards that anyways. And lastly, I have here we are to love souls. We give our home the love of Christ. We love our spouse. We love the Lord with all our heart. We love our children. We also love souls. When you learn to love others, you're actually learning how to live. Life takes a new meaning and becomes more fulfilling than when you live for self. Helping others, loving souls around us. And Jesus, as he stood there, as you know, on the grassy knoll, he looked out and what? He said, pray ye, right, that he would send forth more laborers into the harvest. Why? Because he saw them as scattered sheep. They were lost. As a goose in a snowstorm. They couldn't figure their way out of a wet paper sack. They don't know where they are. I mean, they're lost. And he prayed because he saw them as sheep. He saw the souls around them that were hurting. He saw the souls that were lost. And so we ought to have that as well in our home. Now, again, I say these things. I really want to encourage you with this because most of you in here love the Lord dearly and you are successful in your Christian walk, and I thank you for that. But a good reminder for us in our homes. Our homes should be a haven, and we are striving our best to try and share the gospel and reach our own children with the gospel and see them grow into adulthood and passing the baton on to them for the next generation. Say, okay, here you go. Now you take this and you go. Now you take the gospel, you take the word, you take the church, you take the Holy Spirit. Now you go and do the same in the next generation. That's what I'm hoping to do, and I pray that you would. I pray that you would really truly establish a home that the Lord would be pleased with, and he could come in and you would say, Lord, come in and meet with us in our home. Come. We want it to be pleasing to you. I hope it is. All right. Again, thank you for being here this evening, and we'll consider more of this next week and looking at this month of unity in the home and how to have a happy home. All right. I'll stop there. Lord, thank you again for this evening and allowing us to study your word and look through some of these verses. I praise you for that. Thank you for your grace in our lives and these dear people that are so faithful to you. And I pray that you'd help all of our homes. None of us are exempt from problems. None of us are exempt from division and any of that. We do plead. We plead for your hand of grace and work in our marriages, our homes, our children. Do your work with us, God, that we could be an example as we seek to follow in your steps, as Peter said. How we love and thank you, Lord. Be with those that couldn't be with us tonight. Bring us back safely, if you would allow it, on Sunday, all for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we do pray this, and amen.